It's fun watching the comments. There's people commenting on here. First of all, about beer o'clock. Yes, it is beer o'clock. And for Tom, Pirate Life Mosaic, really good choice. I do love pretty much everything from Pirate Life. This one, though, is Bolter. So this is Hazy IPA. Aussie brand, not only an Aussie brand, Gold Coast brand. In fact, we literally went down to the Bolter Brewery just the other day and found more of these because these were out around about a year ago, Hazy IPA, and then they disappeared and didn't see them anywhere for a while. And they're back, so I got extra just in case they disappeared again. But also, comment from Rob. Wonder how many Flag Rainbow people are here waiting for Troy on Grindr. T on Grindr, Troy on Grindr. I'll talk about Grindr. I'll talk about Scott's Grindr account very briefly. I can't talk too much detail, but I will give a bit of an overview. Greetings from Norway. I'm going to talk about Norway as well later on, so stick around, Christian. But I do have an order of things that I do need to cover in here, as always. And the first order of business is the beer. Had a very hot tennis session today, so that feels especially good. First order of business after the beer is, as always, sponsors. Sponsor this week is officially brought to you by Tynes. 22% of breaches begin with phishing. Submit suspicious breach attachments to Fishly for immediate analysis. That is fish.ly. Which TLD is ly? It's not Lithuania? I don't know. Somewhere else. It's like when people use TV from Tuvalu. I don't know. It's an odd one. Wow, this color has gone like super purple, hasn't it? Look at that. What's turn on the other lights? Not so purple. I'm still mucking around so much IoT stuff, trying to get consistency. Maybe if I come a bit closer. Wow. I wonder why I went so purple. That's okay. I can be purple today. I don't really care. So first of all, for Tynes, big thanks to Tynes for the blog sponsorship this week. Tynes has been a regular contributor to sponsorship there. So thank you for them. And for everyone else just joining, okay, a comment here. Apparently, LY is Libya, but officially sounds kind of better in the same way as something.tv when it's related to TV. It sounds better than saying Tuvalu. So there you go. Oh, wow, Jamaica. Someone here is from Jamaica. That's cool. I still haven't been there. I don't know when I'm going to get to go to Jamaica now. But anyway, on to more important things. And per the image accompanying this video, I literally brought a prop today. This is my shoe. This is an Under Armour shoe that is now also very dusty because I was out in the middle of nowhere walking through the bush in a couple of days ago, testing the connectivity of my shoe. Now, to be clear, I didn't go into the shop wanting to buy a connected shoe, which is what this is. And incidentally, this is the right one. Only the right one is connected. The left one is not connected. This is an Under Armour something something. My app will probably tell me what sort of Under Armour shoe it is. What was it? It's if I go... How freaking weird is this? If I go into the app, it will tell me in my gear tracker, it's an Under Armour Hover Phantom 2, just in case you actually wanted to know that. And I believe it would have a Bluetooth low energy chip in it. Obviously, it does actually have firmware on it because I just updated the firmware. If you look at the tweet thread I just put out, it was on there. When I went into the Under Armour shop, I was looking for some black shoes. I had to replace my running shoes, and I thought, I'll get some black ones because then they're a little bit less kind of blingy if I want to wear them with other things. These are the only black ones that are connected, and I had a moment where I thought, should I? Like, should I go and get a connected shoe? And it's like, connecting everything else, why not? Comment from Tony, thought you were going to do a shoey with your beer like Danny Ricciardo. In case you don't know what a shoey is, Google Daniel Ricciardo shoey. No, we won't be doing that today, especially since I haven't washed this shoe since I came back from walking in the bush with it. So, no, that won't be happening. So anyway, what was kind of amazing with this is that I literally did just go through a firmware update process on my shoe. And I find that just a fascinating reflection of where we are today, that I actually needed to update the firmware on my shoe. And then while it's updating, it's like, make sure you leave the app near your shoe. And I'm thinking, well, what happens if I don't? Like, do I brick my shoe? Like, what would happen if the shoe, well, it would still work, right? I could walk in it, but if it could no longer connect. Now, when I went for my bushwalk the other day, I used the Under Armour app. It didn't appear to have tracked my walk. I'm not sure if I did something wrong. I'm not sure if my shoe is working correctly or not. I'm also not entirely sure what the point is of connecting it. But I like the idea of having a connected shoe just so I can say I've had one and I've tried it. So if anyone knows what they actually do, please do let me know. All right, so that's the shoe, looking at the comments here. Well, there's a good comment here from Ben, Maxwell Smart. I wonder if he had to update a firmware on his shoe. So if you're too young to remember Maxwell Smart and never saw it, he was the private detective who would be able to take his shoe off, and it had a telephone on the bottom of his shoe, which, of course, was super amazing. This must have been from like the 60s or something, because it was all black and white. And I'm too young to have been around the 60s as well, but I do remember seeing it at like my grandparents when you go over there. So a little bit Maxwell Smart there. Not sure if they had firmware back in those days or if it was something else. Steve, if you drop a brick on your shoe, do you literally brick your shoe? I don't know, mate. I really don't want to try that anyway. It does feel a little bit marketing gimmick, if I'm honest. So anyway, now, Scott, we will get to you, mate. Don't worry about that. You can put black and white things on a non-black and white TV and they still come out black and white. So Scott suggested that my parents had a black and white TV as a kid. I do vaguely remember, and I was born in mid-70s, so it's not crazy old. Thank you, Scott. But I do remember a point where we went from black and white to color, but it may have just been more a reflection of mum and dad not being in a position to spend money on a color TV, which was a fancy thing then, than what it was actually the reflection of the era. Tom, I'll talk about the other bits and pieces of personal things a little bit later on. I do want to get through all the cyber things and bits and pieces first, because there were other things that I did that were of more general, usual Troy stuff. So a couple of other things here on my list, and I know I tweeted some of them just before as well. Garage door. So one of the things that I've spoken about before is that the whole value proposition of connecting the house and doing a lot of IoT things was I wanted to be able to open the garage door. And I wanted to be able to do that so that when I was out on my bike, I could just like, you know, press a button on my watch or ask the assistant, whose name I won't mention before she chimes in. And then as I started getting more bits, it's just been fun to see things work together. So one of the bits, or rather one of the companies that I have a lot of bits from, is Ubiquiti. So I bought a bunch of stuff from them several years ago. And since then, they've been very good at sending me bits and sending Scott bits to Scott. You're welcome for those, mate. As well as some of the others of us who do have these online profiles. And they've sent me a bunch of cameras, and I've been trying to find places to put them. And that the problem is a lot of the cameras do require wired backhaul. So they run across power over Ethernet. So you've got to have an Ethernet cable you can plug in, either then straight into a PoE switch, could be via your wires and your walls and things. It doesn't have to be next to the switch. It could be in a socket. Or you have to have a PoE injector, which means you need to be near a PowerPoint. Now, the G3 micro cameras are super small, actually. They're probably smaller than a fist. And they work over Wi-Fi, so they don't need a wired backhaul or doing funky tricks with trying to extend range and then have PoE injected access points floating around, as I do in some places. So they work over Wi-Fi. They're 1080p. They've got audio in them as well. They just need a PowerPoint somewhere. So I found a spot in the garage where I could mount one. And this is sort of poking into my carport. Many people seem to be confused with my garage situation. I have like an internal garage which has bikes and wakeboards and things like that in there. And then there's like an external garage, which is quasi-accessible, like if you were to climb over a fence. Call it a carport if you want. So I've mounted one of those up there, and I managed to just run the cable back through the door. And the cool thing is that when it integrates back into Home Assistant sees it as a device. So this is the nomenclature of Home Assistant. And that device then has many entities on it. So one of the entities is it has a camera. Another one of the entities is it has a motion sensor. So by putting the Ubiquiti cameras around, then using the Ubiquiti integration into Home Assistant, you're actually adding motion sensors all over the place as well. So the cool thing about that is that as I go through the next phase of putting Shelly's in the house, which I hope will happen next week, and Shelly's are the little IoT relays, I'll be able to do things like say, if the camera in the garage sees motion, then trigger the lights on via the Shelly and everything will work nicely together. So where this worked particularly well the other day is what I found is I went away, and I'll talk a bit more about that later on. It was very unusual to go away somewhere. But I went away and I was expecting a delivery, and it was the GoPro that I'll talk about in a moment. And I wanted to let them deliver the GoPro and drop the box off somewhere, but not put it somewhere that other people would get. So I literally just remote opened the garage door with the watch. Okay, cool, garage door's open. Then I can use the Ubiquiti cameras to remotely see when the guy comes in from UPS and he drops off the camera, and then he goes back out, and then I press another button and the garage door just closes. And it's like, this is amazing. This is super, super, super cool. And then I had the gardeners come over the next day, same sort of thing. So just being able to remote open and close, but to do it into an area which, like I said, like you could literally just jump over the fence and get into as well. So I'm a little bit cautious about connecting, say, the internal garage door, which is like, yeah, someone can steal your bike if they manage to somehow get through that. Okay, so there's that. And I'm going to talk about GoPro in a moment. Leo says, how's the open sourcing of Have I Been Pwned going? Slowly. It takes effort, and there's a lot to be done around the construct that it goes under, the licensing models, which bits gets open source when. There is a route that I'm going down, and I'm waiting for feedback on that route, and then I'll talk more about it. But it is happening. It's just not a high priority thing at the moment in the scheme of all the things that are important in life. What else? I don't know what that emoji means, Scott. Anyway, Sonia, g'day, Sonia. Sonia's a good friend of ours up in Brisbane. Tell Ubiquiti to send her some bits. In all honesty, I have spare Ubiquiti bits if you'd like some. So let me know. And that doesn't go for everyone either. That's just Sonia. All right. So on to some of the other things. I mentioned GoPro. Now, I noticed Scott's just arrived as well. And as Scott aptly put it, he said, because this new GoPro is a webcam, it's a business expense, which is, in all seriousness, one of the reasons that I got a GoPro Hero Black 9 or Black 9 Hero, I don't know, whatever it is, the new one. And the cool thing about this, you can just see it's got like a, if I got to put it in my face because of focus, it's got a screen on the front as well. So it's got a full LCD screen. You can see yourself on the front. It's actually got USB-C, so welcome to the modern era, GoPro. I'm not sure if the last one did or not, but my GoPro Hero 4, which is the previous one I had, just had USB, the old, not the micro USB, the fatter one. Anyway, the old one. So the cool thing is I'll be able to use this as a webcam. I've got a kit which came with like a floaty handle, so I can also use it when I'm wakeboarding, which would be nice. And I also got a great big floaty cover, so I can also put it on the jet ski. And I've got to figure out how I can start doing some of these back outdoors again. But the intention is to be able to go back outside and do some of these videos, because it is getting very repetitive being in here the whole time. So they look pretty good. I noticed that you can get like some media kits where they have external microphones and external microphone jacks. So then maybe I can just plug in like a lapel mic or something like that. And Scott, if you found anything useful to do with yours, mate, drop a comment in there, because I've literally only had a chance to sort of fire it up and charge it and very, very briefly look at it. But what I do like compared to the earlier generation GoPros, and I'm not sure how long it's been this way, is that there's no longer like a massive external case. It's just, this is the whole thing. And yeah, obviously super, super compact too. So I'll try and do some videos from that. Looking at the comments, Tom is happy with the beer. I'm happy with the beer too, mate. Trust me. Okay. Let's talk about Scott's Grindr account. how do we put this gently? Someone reported something to me which wasn't getting the attention that it probably should have got. There was a process that they had gone through to try and get in touch with Grindr. It hadn't worked very well. And I am going to write about all of this later on. It's in a draft blog post. We're just waiting for a few things to happen. I did end up having to tweet early this morning and ask if anyone has a contact at Grindr. What I will say, just to remove any ambiguities, is not a data breach. So, Scott, your Grindr data is safe. That hasn't been leaked anywhere. And someone did get in touch with me very, very quickly and dealt with the particular issue that had been raised. So the first point I want to make is that at this point in time, there's no issue that I'm aware of with Grindr, and it wasn't a data breach either. It was something else, which is very interesting. And I've drafted up into a blog post. There will be, I'm sure, some coverage of it, because it's the sort of thing which does actually deserve to be highlighted. And Scott was very, what's the right way of putting this, Scott, helpful in helping me establish the legitimacy of a claim by offering up his Grindr account. So you will see this later on. We have written all this up in a blog post. Scott's seen the draft blog post. I think he's okay with that. But let's just say I was sitting here like late last night writing this stuff up, chatting to Scott as well, and laughing rather hysterically at the direction some of this was going. What I found most interesting is some of the messages that Scott was getting on his account. Now, it may have been related to the photo of Scott that I put on his account after I got access to it, but that was a fun experience. So we'll get to that. So that was that bit. Now, the next bit. On the personal side of things. So I posted a photo, when was it? Earlier this week, with Charlotte. So I do have a new relationship. It's someone that that Scott knows very, very well, and that I've known for a very long time. And this was something I didn't really want to talk about until much more recently. A bunch of people sort of figured things out. But someone who some of you probably know Charlotte. She organises a bunch of the NDC conferences. So I've known her for about the last 6 years. Thanks, Scott. Now, one of the things I realized, and this was not intentional, is a lot of people seem to have taken a nice photo of a sunrise with her and I to mean that we are engaged. We're not engaged. not at this point in time. That may be something which is on the horizon. I think it'd be very nice if it was. But it wasn't that at all. And I'm not quite sure how I worded things so badly. But anyway, so that's there. And I guess I literally wrote down notes here so I could remember things. We sort of both went through relationship breakdowns around similar times, and by virtue of what we do and our travel and where we end up in the world, things connected, and now here we are. And now she's stuck in Australia because she can't go anywhere. So Charlotte is Norwegian. A bunch of people sort of, I guess, triggered last year that I was spending a lot more time in Norway, which was part of the reason. There are many other reasons as well. But that has given me a good attachment there. We would have been back to Norway probably at least once or twice already this year had it not been for the whole coronavirus thing. So now we're sort of in this situation where it's like, okay, well, we're stuck here. That's actually pretty good. As I've said many times before, it's been really, really good for things like my exercise regime. She's an exceptionally active person, so that's worked really well for me as well. And this is I guess, the nice thing now, where we have this sort of consistency in life and a very kind of active outdoors kind of lifestyle. Now, a bunch of people said, how did I take the picture, or how was the picture taken? Like, was there like a photographer there framing everything up? And if you're interested in what the picture is, it's just the pinned tweet at the moment. Now, it was not that high tech. So what I did is I took the little tripod, which I used to carry with me all the way around the world when I was doing traveling. I'd do my weekly videos. And I used the feature on the watch where you can turn on a camera, and then the camera, you can like literally see the camera here, and you can press a button and it counts down. And I literally just repositioned things, took a few photos, found a good one, and then that was that. Just look at the comments here. This was not Scott hiding in the shadows. He was too busy with his Grindr account. But that was that. It's been, obviously, it's been a super, super weird year for everyone, and it's been a super weird year for Charlotte and I this year and last year as well. And one of the things that I realized travel-wise is that I was looking at my TripIt before I recorded this, because I want to get the stats. So last year I traveled 243 days. Now, that wasn't all hard work. Some of it was Scott and I going snowboarding along with Charlotte and along with my son as well. Some of it was, did I actually have holidays last year? I can't remember. I know I went to a lot of conferences. But some of it wasn't all hard work, but it was still 243 days on the road, which was obviously really excessive. But then this year it's kind of gone back the other way. So Charlotte and I got back to the Gold Coast on Feb 15 from Microsoft Ignite, which was down in Sydney, and then did not leave until Tuesday this week. So we actually had 227 days in a row in the same place, like literally in the same house, in the same bed, in one great big block, which I think for me is a record since I was a child. And just look at Scott's comments about, I assume the Vegas baby comment is in relation to some of the nice things we did last year. So we didn't post a lot of stuff last year and deliberately sort of choosing what we want to post when. But we did do some epic stuff in Vegas with Scott and his family as well. So that was kind of fun. Like that's as trashy as that was at times, there are certain things about the vehicles we were driving through the desert, which I think I'd be very happy to do again. So now it's kind of odd, right? Like we're back in Australia, stuck here. Neither of us can really go anywhere. She's still Norwegian. If she goes back to Norway, she can't really come back here. So that's not what she wants. I can't really even leave the country because the Oz government doesn't let you go out unless there's an exceptional circumstance. So it kind of, Scott says we should go back and post those pics, dude. Maybe we'll do like a retrospective. Maybe now that a bunch of dust has settled and stuff, it can be like, here's all the epic stuff from 2019 that we did, which we kind of wanted to keep on the lowdown at the time. I still think that it's probably going to be about mid next year before we really feel like traveling internationally anywhere. So that will be interesting. We'll just have to sort of see how that pans out. But of course, at some time we want to. But and we're going off on a bit of a tangent here. But I think since this whole COVID thing and just having consistency and stability, and especially things like the health benefits of being active every day. I posted something. I think it must have been yesterday, first day of the month, where my watch said for September, I had an hour, 41 minutes of exercise on average every single day across September. Like I just never could have done that before. And I don't want to go back into that crazy cycle. Ben's made a comment here. So there's New Zealand travel bubble. So we had news today that Aussies, actually, it's not Aussies, it's only Kiwis. At the moment, it looks like only Kiwis will be able to come from New Zealand to New South Wales, our state beneath here, or Northern Territory, the state with all the crocodiles. And I assume they'll be able to go home again. And then in future, they'll be able to come to other states. And I assume in future, we'll be able to go back to NZ. But at the moment, we're getting those little bubbles. So honestly, for the immediate future, I think our travel plans are going to be not just domestic, but just within the same state. So to that effect, we had our first trip away this week since the middle of Feb, so since the whole COVID thing. And we literally drove about 2.5 hours west. I did post a few photos of it. And it was just like the most countryside kind of thing I could possibly find. Like I didn't want to get on an aeroplane. I don't feel comfortable doing that yet. I didn't want to go to a resort on a beach or something like that. I literally wanted to go out somewhere in kind of the middle of nowhere. So the place we went to is apparently the highest lodge in Australia outside an alpine area, which is a very carefully caveated thing to literally put on a big sign out the front. But it was 1,100 metres above sea level, which is pretty unusual for Australia, which doesn't have big hills. So I went there and literally just went bushwalking, played tennis, swam, sat in a hot tub, fireplace, all that sort of stuff. And I think that over the foreseeable future, and you know, probably over the Christmas holidays and some things with the kids as well, it'll be Queensland stuff. It'll be within the state. Now, fortunately, and this was also as I was speaking to Scott the other day, I realised that our state is nearly 8 times the size of the entire UK. So we have a massive, massive state. So we have in our state the Great Barrier Reef. So that would be a really, really nice thing to do. There's a little bit of me that wants to just do like an epic big road trip around Australia or something, which is probably the sort of thing that sounds really good while you're sitting here drinking a beer. And then you go out and do it and you wonder what the hell you've done. But Anyway, so the point is, I think everything will remain here in Oz and probably in this state for the foreseeable future. All right, so looking at comments, thank you for all the nice comments about stuff. It is really nice just to be able to focus on the positive. Sonia's saying, take Charlotte out to Longreach and see the real outback. So I was very, very tempted to do something to that effect. And I just got to think about how I do, you know, the timing and everything. And do I really, I was thinking I could drive because I could drive to Cairns. And Cairns is like, I think it's about 1,500 kilometres away from here. So to get up to like the good bits of the Barrier Reef, it's 1,500 kilometres. So for those of you in the UK, think about like Land's End to John O'Groats and then like multiply that over multiple times. And that's sort of what we're looking at over there. Yeah, comment from here, might want to get going before the wet season. So this is the thing, Australia, particularly as you go north and you get into the tropics, there are certain seasons where you don't want to do stuff. And I can't remember, I think it might be end of year. It's like, look, you don't really want to go in the water because of all the stingers. So I have to go and check that again. Burton, will you be doing weekly update with Charlotte? Do you want me to? I could do that at some point in time. So, yeah, maybe that will be a thing. Obviously, she does work in this industry as well. It's amazing how many connections we have that are common, and particularly after, you know, we updated Facebook statuses and things the other day, and just seeing, yeah, it must be hundreds of people that we both know and work with, and she's sort of in this industry, but she's not a techie, so I don't have to sit there and talk about code and cyber and stuff like that. But the people in the industry and the life I live is very familiar. So, yeah, if you can think about something interesting you want to hear from her, I can ask. I can see. Ben says, what, you're still on Facebook? That's where my friends are, though, you know? You sound like Scott talking about black and white TVs now. Yeah, I'm still on Facebook, so there's that. Ben says he watched The Social Network. Yeah, I've watched half of The Social Network. So Social Network is the one about all of us getting way too engrossed in our phones or just sitting there watching crap on YouTube, look at you. and maybe we should sort of take a little bit of time away from that to detach a bit. I got halfway through, and then I found it got very, very repetitive. It's like, yes, I know, I should sort of look at my phone. Okay, can you just get on and show me something interesting because my attention span's short because I keep looking at my phone. Scott says, wasn't that the one about Zuck building Facebook? So, no, so The Social Network was about Zuck building Facebook. There's another one which is on Netflix at the moment, which is about how we're too engrossed in our phones. What was that one called? I can probably Google this stuff, can't I? Netflix, social media, I don't know. But that was the one that I started to get a little bit. Oh, Social Dilemma. The Social Dilemma is the one I'm thinking of. Yep, Ben just got it as well. And Craig, thank you. Yeah, so The Social Dilemma is the one that was just getting really kind of repetitive, but each to their own on that. So, look, that's pretty much where I am at the moment. Next week, I want to be able to talk about the details of the Grindr situation. We will talk about Scott's account there and how that panned out for him, which will be fun. Other things that will happen then, I've got a bunch more IoT stuff. I mentioned the Shelly's are going in. I've literally got a pile of Shelly's over there that still need to go into the wall, so I'm going to get the Sparky back to do a lot of those. And over time, I'll start to post some photos as well of some of the stuff that Charlotte and I have been doing to the house too. So particularly one area down there, Scott and Sonia know where it is, where the TV and everything is, has been completely redone, and a bunch of that's connected in pretty cool ways too. So things like the TV sits against a dark wall now, and there's a Philips Hue LED strip around the back of it, and that is triggered by a power consumption monitoring switch which the TV plugs into. So the TV is not IoT connected. It's a smart TV, of course, but the switch that's plugged into can look at how much power it's drawing. So when that goes up, I can use Home Assistant to trigger the light on, and I get this nice glow from behind the TV. And when it goes off, I can kill that again, which is pretty cool. Joel has just said, it's even worse than I thought. It's 1,757 kilometres from the Gold Coast to Cairns, 19 hours and 54 minutes. Oh, man, that looks painful. I don't know if I can do that. We'll see. I've got a while to think about it. Okay, look, thanks for watching. I know that this one was a bit of a mix in there. Other than that, than Scott's Grindr account, there hasn't been a whole lot of stuff here around the normal cyber stuff, but I find the IoT stuff interesting. I hope you found the personal stuff interesting, if at least not candid and honest, and you know, this is this is where life is now. So thanks very much for watching. If you do, Burton, have ideas about what you'd like to hear from Charlotte, drop me a note, mate. You know where to find me. I get lots of messages from you. And I'll come back next week earlier in the day. Thanks for watching. See ya.